Fra Jad and I were floating in a white corridor. I was naked. He was dressed in one of the gray coveralls we had brought up in our kit. Evidence suggested he had been rummaging in a steel locker set into the wall. Two clumps of silvery fabric were floating near him. He teased one open. It turned out to have arms and legs. From time to time, he glanced my way. When he noticed me looking at him, he tossed me a gray packet in a poly bag. Another folded-up coverall.
"Put this on," he said. "Then over it, the silver garment."
"Are we going to put out a fire?"
"In a manner of speaking."
The effort of tearing open the poly wrapper set my heart pounding. Pulling on the coverall plunged me deep into oxygen debt. Once I had recovered enough to get a few words out, I asked, "Where are the others?"
"There is a narrative, not terribly dissimilar to the one you and I are perceiving, in which they went to explore the ship. Their plan is to surrender peacefully whenever someone notices them."
"Is there any particular reason they left us behind?"
"Emergence from the suit after so long. Finding oneself in a confined space after having grown accustomed to the unobstructed vastness. Breathing an atmosphere from a different cosmos. Effects of long-term weightlessness. General stress and excitement. All of these induce a syndrome that lasts for a few minutes, a kind of going into shock that can produce confusion or even loss of consciousness. Soon it passes, if one is healthy. I infer that it was too much for the Warden of Heaven."
"So," I tried, "after we doffed the suits, we were all confused or unconscious for a few minutes. Meaning, in your system of thought, we lost our grip on the narrative, stopped tracking it. Whatever faculty of consciousness enables it continuously to do the fly-bat-worm trick, it shut down for a while there."
"Yes. And the others regained consciousness in a world track in which you and I are dead."
"Dead?"
"That is what I told you."
"So that's why they left us behind," I said. "They didn't leave us behind because, in their world track, we never even made it here."
"Yes. Put this on."
He handed me a full-face respirator. "What of the Phothosian astronomer? Won't she summon the authorities or something?"
"She went with Jules. He is talking to her. He has a gift for that kind of thing."
"So Leo, Arcibald, Jesri, and Simon are just wandering around the ship openly, looking for someone to surrender to?"
"Such a world track exists."
"It's pretty bizarre."
"Not at all. Such occurrences are common in the confusion of war."
"Well, how about this world track? Where are the four of them doing in the narrative that you and I are in?"
"I'm in several," Fra Jad said. "A state of affairs that is not easy to sustain. Your questions hardly make it easier. So here is a simple answer. The others are all dead."
"I don't wish to abide in a world track where my friends are all dead," I said. "Take me back to the other one."
"There is no taking and there is no back," Jad said. "Only going and forward."
"I don't want to be in a narrative where my friends are dead," I insisted.
"Then you have two choices. Put yourself out the airlock or follow me."
And Fra Jad pulled the respirator over his face, terminating our conversation. He handed me a fire extinguisher and took one for himself. Then he shoved off down the corridor.